Say, we have Congressman Farr on the air here. I believe I've just got to figure out how to get this thing up. He's on right now. Okay, Congressman Farr.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, fine. Thank you for joining us, and I'll get right to the point.
I always love your program. Been listening to it for years.
Well, you know, but I've been a critic for a long time, too, but I think you've done a lot of good work along the way as well. I'm familiar with your background. Hey, I've got one bone to pick here, as you well know. Not a bone to pick. Not a bone to pick. I just believe the public here deserves a straight up and down position from you on these actions that NOAA has taken against Nancy Black, the marine biologist, and three jet skiers here 2 weeks ago. And you know what has escalated to. What is your position on that?
Well, my position is that there's probably these laws need to be changed. But I think there's the process is you don't change them in Washington. You change them here locally through the administrative regs. That's the way this sanctuary has been set up. And, you know, since the implementing regulations were set up in 1993, there was a jet ski ban, and there's never an issue with it until we got into some big wave surfing on Grey Ghost and when the Mavericks ended up being, a big commercial event, there was, see a lot of jet skis. The sanctuary actually lost in court on the, because they just set up the regulations banning them without any fact. And I think in the regulations that were later adopted in the early part of this decade, they made exceptions. To that ban.
Well, those exceptions exist today. Well, Congressman, look, you know, I understand that they have to try to enforce the regulations they have. I understand the administrative procedures, but Congressman, you were instrumental in passing and in proposing and passing the law to give NOAA the authority to enforce regulations, make regulations, enforce regulations throughout the area. I have to remind you, as you probably know, I was instrumental in getting the original National Marine Mammal Protection Act passed in 1975, but I never dreamed it would be stretched to this limit. Now, my question is simply this. You are the ultimate authority. You say you have to get through administrative regulations, but every year when the budget for NOAA is passed, you as a member of Congress from this region approve that. You've approved the budget every year. That's approving what they do. That's approving their staffs.
Well, Bill, as you know, that's a huge budget. NOAA does. It's a huge organization. We're doing all kinds of things. Include all the weather data in the world, and NOAA is both atmospheric and ocean. Yeah, the regulations relating to the different sanctuaries are governed locally. I mean, I got into this issue many years ago because my friends were big wave surfers. And what happened is that they tried to propose to the Sanctuary Advisory Committee that there ought to be a regulation set up so that you could license the people who were really good at it professionally and allow them to go out and do their work in a, you know, when it warranted. The problem you had is that the surfing community in itself, just as many people that supported it were opposed to it, and it just became one where they couldn't get an agreement among the community. The sanctuary ended up creating jet ski zones, creating a policy on surf rescue, and creating a separate policy just on Mavericks itself.
All right,
that's been the law until these recent incidents.
All right, well, look, let me go back to basics. I have no qualms with reasonable regulations, and as you pointed out, they had two sides of the issue, even among the surfers. Here is what's completely different. What I'm asking is the degree of legal intimidation that is palpable, obvious, in everybody's face. You know what it is here. The marine biologist, whom you haven't talked about, is being threatened with 20 years in jail. That's the public pronounced attack on her in federal court. She's being bankrupted. You know this, to even have to have lawyers to go into federal court. These three jet skiers, originally given $500 citations, that NOAA has bragged that it's going to raise them to $2,500 if they dare protest. Is that the American way, Congressman?
No, I mean, you have a lot more of this inside talk than I do. I had actually, for the Barbara Black issue on the whales, I was very upset when I heard that they had fined her. What I was told by our ethics office is because it was litigation being sought, you couldn't get involved. I actually think I wrote a letter at the time and indicated that, you know, look at the background, that there's got to be some equities in this. In this debate,
Congressman,
you know, once you have a legal issue, your Congress members are out.
No. I'm sorry, Congressman. You are the ultimate authority to stand up in Congress on any day and ask for a hearing or to put a bill in Congress. You represent this region. You represent these citizens being attacked.
I know the region very well, and I know also the rules of ethics. And you are getting into an area that you don't know much about, is congressional ethics.
In other words, you're telling me there are ethics that prevent you from standing up and saying you think something or questioning. I'm not even saying, Judge, you can't stand up and question in Congress. What's happening by what a government agency is doing? You're telling me that's what you're going to hide behind?
I'm not hiding behind it.
The hell you aren't. You absolutely are. You're paid $175,000 a year with $1 million of staff people, and you have citizens. You just said you didn't like or you were curious about what they're doing, but this is blackmail. Congress, I want to remind you. I remember you very well. You stood up in Congress, trying to remember the year. 2008, and you call the Immigration and Customs agents Gestapo agents for doing this kind of thing. Do you recall that? I have the printed congressional record in front of me. Well, Do you recall calling them the Gestapo agents because they knocked on doors in investigations?
When they raided the places in Santa Cruz and took kids away from their parents, there was a real outcry by all the churches in Santa Cruz, by the human rights groups, by the government, local elected officials. They had written a letter to me in Washington, and in committee, this is not standing up on the floor and doing it, in committee during questioning of their budget, I asked if these practices were the kinds of things they were carrying on, and I was quoting from the letters that my local government had written me.
Now, you just got through telling me you couldn't do that for NOAA. You said questioning their budget. That's exactly what I said. You have question NOAA's budget in the same way.
Sure I do. I obviously do. I didn't say that.
Why did you say it's an ethics question in place of NOAA, but it's not?
No, the ethics issue is, let's go back here. The ethics issue is that NOAA had filed legal charges against the whale folks, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
When I got into trying to look at the facts in that case and to talk with the regulators, with the legal community, I was told that it was unethical to do that.
Now, who told you that?
The ethics department, our ethics department, and the lawyers in the Justice Department.
Your ethics department where? In Congress?
Yeah, we have an ethics committee.
And they told you you can't question?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. You write letters on these things.
Well, you should tell your constituents that you're helpless then, Congress. I'm Congressman. You know that this woman is being bludgeoned and blackmailed. You know that. The threat of, I want to ask you, do you approve of her being threatened with 20 years in jail when she was a former marine biologist helping the same agency? Do you approve, I want your constituency to hear this, that she's being threatened with 20 years in jail and has to go to federal court with lawyers costing $100,000 a year? Do you approve of that?
No.
You do something about it, for God's sakes? Hey, a wino on the street could do your job if you say I've got to hide behind the ethics committee. I'm telling you. You know what you can do. I know your history. I know the things you've sponsored in Congress. You know you have the absolute power and obligation to stand up and question anything. Okay?
Now, wait. I'll tell you what we can do. Certainly question the generic use of the funds within NOAA budget or any other budget as to certain practices.
Precisely.
But you cannot, when you have filed it, it's like, okay, Bill, you get a ticket. You call your mayor of your city and say, you know, I got a ticket. Can you just go in there and fix it for me?
No, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm not asking you to fix anything. I'm asking you as the congressman to stand up and tell the constituency and the Congress what you think about this thing and why it ought to be looked at. Maybe it's proper.
There is a record on that, and I have that. I did that.
Where is it? Where is it? The press doesn't have it.
D.C., huh?
The press doesn't have any.
Nobody's asked for it. They just come on your radio show and you started that.
I've got press. Congressman. I wouldn't be questioning you if I didn't have press reports in front of me here if people contacted your office and got no comment or that you couldn't get involved. That's the official statement.
Well, I will get back. It was months ago, almost a year ago when it got involved. It was very involved. And in fact, you can, you want to talk to who got involved for him. It was Jean-Michel Gustaut.
Well, that's an interesting reference, but does that help Nancy Black or forgive this operation going on here? You know, Clint Eastwood's probably listening right now, too. He's a good buddy of mine. What the hell good with me to throw that name out, huh?
Well, if you will look at it, Gustaut was also involved in this case.
He's involved in this case in persecuting Nancy Black and the jet skiers the way they're being told they'll be fined $2,500 for daring to raise their voice in protest, huh?
He's one of the defendants in the case.
Well, I don't care what he's involved in. This is a case of Nancy Black being charged and dragged into federal court of three jet skiers on watercraft being told their fines will now be $2,500 instead of $500 because you dare to open your mouth, you know. Congressman, I'm going to remind you, you labeled this behavior as Gestapo operation in 2008. In the congressional record. And by the way, you were challenged by the representative of ICE who said no such things did take place. They were doing their job to go investigate illegal immigrants.
Yes, but they also had to file reports on why they used those specific tactics. They were asked by the superintendent of schools, by the mayors of the cities in Santa Cruz, by the members of the Board of Supervisors, by the Unified Council of Churches. I mean, there were a lot of people asking for a incident report of why they did it in such fashion that you separate young children from their parents without anybody knowing where they're going to go. School superintendents were looking for kids that were missing. I mean, it was a tactic that they haven't used since, nor have they been back.
Were these parents and children threatened with jail or bankruptcy and fines, attacked by the U.S. Attorney's Office, Congressman?
No. I don't know. They depended on each incident. There were a lot of people around.
There are at least three U.S. Attorney's Office's attorneys involved in Washington. $500,000, $1,000 a year apiece cats on the public payroll with the expenses. Attacking these two people in your region, in your constituency. Again, I contend, you have the absolute right to question the budget of this whole agency and the line item of those working right here. You do it every year. You approve it, Congressman.
Certainly I do. And you know what? Until your radio show, no one's asked me to do that.
But not Nancy, Lord, I have to tell you to do that? You're the congressman. You got $1 million staff, Congressman.
$1 million staff. But look, if you want to talk rationally about this stuff, fine.
I'm going to give you some callers. I've said enough. But I have to tell you. You know better than this. You're supposed to be a big boy, not a dumb cluck on the corner somewhere who says, gee, I don't know what's going on.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, well, you have told me that no one even told you you should do something.
No, I didn't say that. I said nobody who was involved as a victim, other than the one that I mentioned, has spoken to me about wanting me to intervene. And when I talked about intervening, this is when it ran into an ethics issue. If you have charges filed against somebody, they don't allow the politician to come in there and just say, we want you to dismiss these charges.
I'm asking you to stand up and tell the public whether you think it's right. And if you don't think it's right, I'm asking you to use your ultimate authority and do your job and go to Congress and put a bill in there to stop it.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking. I didn't tell you to interfere with their local legal procedure. I said do what congressmen do. That's all.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if you're a constituent of mine, I might be listening to you.
All right. Well, it's a good point. Well, you're listening, you're telling a lot of your constituents this. Here's Vince in Santa Cruz. He's got a question. You have a question for Congressman Farr, Vince?
Yes, I do. Yeah, when they were redoing the laws for the jet skis, and you made a quote about saying that a lot of surfers were backed against the jet skis, that's mm-hmm. because what NOAA and the Monterey Bay Sanctuary Surf Rider and Save Our Shores, they put out a lot of false information about that, saying we're ripping up kelp, which the kelp gets ripped off from the storms right when they come through, and you do not take your jet ski through the kelp because of the intake. We run over animals, they maneuver fast, and you're going to run over animals, which in the other sense is they maneuver fast and they avoid animals. Then another incident came along.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's let the congressman respond a little here. Okay.
Hey, Vince, I was on your side on those issues. I asked NOAA to make exceptions to the rules. I thought the Maverick surfing is a great thing. I think Grey Ghost is a great thing. You had lots of other issues there, you know, the trampling of private property in Pebble Beach and the Pebble Beach Corporation not allowing the jet skiers to take off from the Stillwater Cove Pier, and all kinds of issues way beyond sort of the exception to the rule on how to use jet skis for events. And I talked to friends of mine who are lawyers who are big wave surfers. They were involved to try to get them to work out some regulations that would allow for a setup of how do you determine who these people ought to be, some professional way. I was on the side of them. What happened is that the arguments they made to whatever it was, the Sanctuary Advisory Council or whoever recommends the changes in the administrative laws there, didn't accept those facts. So, you know, it's because the outcome wasn't what I wanted, don't blame me.
Well, I'm saying the trampling of the property, that was nothing to do with jet skis. That was people coming from a 17-mile drive and walking on the private property.
Well, that was just that was Mavericks, and I mean, excuse me, Grey Ghost, and I think those were a lot of legitimate issues that would have, would have had a problem.
Can you travel
but the problem
on
the
driver?
Okay, Vince, look, I think there's a degree of detail we can't. You stated your opinion, and the congressman has given you his here. Let's get a few other folks in for the time we have here at the Congress. Georgia and Capitola, you're on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
Hi, Bill. Congressman Farr, this is a little different subject, but I wanted to expose you for who you truly are to the listeners. 15 years ago, my husband entered into a public-private partnership with the city of Capitola to restore the Rispin Mansion, which would have brought hundreds of jobs to our city, TOTs, tax revenues, et cetera, et cetera. We went through a nightmare process fighting all the bureaucracies, CEQA, California Coastal.
Okay, Georgia, time's short here. Just why don't you cut the quick here? What's the conclusion?
When that project didn't go, we came to your group when the stimulus money was supposedly to go to shovel-ready projects. Your director told us you had decided that you were going to take the stimulus money and put it into Pinnacle Peak to redo the ranger station and officers' quarters. I ask you, sir, with a project-ready project, completely permitted, why did you deny us that opportunity?
Okay, that's a well-posed question. Let's see what Congressman Farr has to say here. And again, a response to you there, Georgia.
Well, thank you for calling or asking a question, George. As you know, I don't make these decisions. They come into the agencies who are dishing out the money, and you have to meet the criteria of those agencies. We ran it up by your proposal to EDA, and EDA, who were handing out the money, said it didn't meet the criteria. That's the fact of the matter.
Were there multiple, I would assume there were multiple proposals then that they had to consider. Is that the case?
Oh, yes. I mean, there were more requests than there was money to go around. There had to be priority setting.
That's
all
always
the transportation issues. They went to the local transportation agencies and said, you work out, you have a means for working these things out. You work it out. Give us the list of your priorities of what should be funded under Shovel Ready, and they got those. Others were in the Economic Development Agency. They have EDA money that goes to local governments to do usually public projects. Connection of water, sewer, so on. And this criteria that Georgia was talking about just didn't, or the proposal just didn't fit that criteria.
All right. So what you're saying, the decision wasn't solely in your office. There were other agencies that had to do a selection. Is that it?
Yeah, the decision on those things are never directly in my office.
Okay, well, I understand. I just wanted to clarify your explanation to her. Here's Steve in Scotts Valley. You're on KSCO with Congressman Farr. Steve.
Hi, Bill and Congressman Farr. I wanted to make a point. It seems like early in this discussion there was, Bill, you were mentioning that maybe through the budget process, Sam Farr could do something about about NOAA. And I just want to make a point. Once policy is decided, laws and regulations are passed, the other activities that the House undertakes would be concerning budget for those things. And I don't think you want to conduct public policy by using the budget process to hamstring things that have already been put into law. And I think that's kind of a delicate...
Steve, good Lord. What do you think the Congress of the United States is about? It's supposed to decide the future of agencies in our government based on past performance as well as future requirements. They can't go in? That's exactly the same form the congressman used to label the Immigration Service a bunch of Gestapo agents. It was a budget hearing. Come on.
Okay, I was curious about Congressman Farr's comments.
Well, let's hear his comments.
Well, Bill,
yeah,
Steve's correct. You cannot there's a rule in Congress. You cannot legislate on appropriations bills.
You can criticize. You know that. That's the role. Your role. You're supposed to. If you don't like it,
well, wait a minute. I'm a congressman. I know my rules, and I know some of the rules.
I know what the Constitution says, and I know what many other congressmen do.
Come on.
Don't give me a slip off now that there's something I don't know.
I'm not giving you a slip off. You, Bill, look.
I can get some other congressman on the air for you to educate you if you want.
You won't get any congressman to disagree with what I'm talking about.
You think not? I'll have Wally Herger on here in a minute. If you think, I can think of 10 others. If you think you cannot stand up in Congress and say what you think.
I can stand up, Bill. That's different than what you're saying. You cannot legislate an appropriations bill.
I didn't tell you to legislate. I didn't tell you to go there and pass it and say change the rules. I told you to go there and that you should go there. If you believe Nancy Black and others have been mistreated, you should make it known to that agency whose budget you're supposed to approve in the future. This is not behavior that you condone. That's what you have a right to do.
You have a right to put in budget language, assuming the committee votes on it. It has to be bipartisan. You have to get a majority opinion on every word that you put in.
I didn't say you have to put something specific in the budget. I said you have a right and an obligation to stand up and represent the people of this region.
I do that very well. I'm doing that extremely well.
Well, if you're saying you don't approve of what NOAA's doing, you've answered part of the question right here. But the next thing is, what are you going to do about it?
Well, if the group who is interested in broadening the three exceptions that have already been made in the rule to broaden those to be more inclusive, I'm very here to help them. But we have
the general case of the agency blackmailing people who are convicted, no matter what it is, of saying if you don't bowl over and give us your money, as we're telling you, we're going to raise the fine up to the limit of a felony and 20 years in jail. That's what we're talking about. You know that. You've been informed. Your staff's been informed. It's all over your face for the last 3 weeks.
Well, why don't you ask some of the people from the National Marine Sanctuary who are administering the law to be on your program?
I'd be happy to. Hey, I'd be happy to. But do you expect them to do anything other than justify what they're doing to draw their paychecks? Sure. Look, you know what they're doing. You don't have to ask them.
They have to they have to operate under the same laws that everybody else does. They can't just not be arbitrary.
Who makes those laws, Congressman?
The administrative laws that are made by the sanctuary are made within the NOAA.
Mm-hmm. Who approved them to have such administrative control? Who approved them in the beginning?
Well, Congress creates the agencies and gives them the authority to write regulations.
Mm-hmm. And you're a member of what agency, Congressman? You know, I just don't understand this. You saying you have the ultimate power as a member of Congress to say anything you want, to question anything you want, and to put bills in Congress to correct anything you think is wrong. May not be able to do it tomorrow in this particular case, but I think your constituency deserves to know what you intend to do.
Well, I would like to hear from my constituency other than a talk radio show of exactly what they have in mind.
That's fine. Hey, let's get some more of them here. Here's Jim in, we got Jim in Seaside. You're on KSCO. Congressman Farr is here. He'd like to hear from you, Jim.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Farr, taking the hot seat as it is. Anyway, my son was in the Army serving in Iraq during the last 2010 election. And about 3 weeks before the final date, he and his unit had not received their ballots for voting overseas. I called your office several times during the next couple of weeks, left all my information, and unfortunately, I'm sure you're busy, I didn't hear back from you, but this seems to be a common occurrence where our troops don't get their ballots on time, and many votes are not counted. Why is that?
Okay, let's get a comment here, a response from Congressman Farr.
Jim, first of all, give your son my best and tell him thank you for service to our country. Secondly, we did inquire on those ballots. I mean, it was happening. We heard that from different units around the world. The military responsible for getting the voter and the ballot together overseas. Complications, but and we do oversight on that. And I don't know in this specific instance whether the ballots got there or not. But if you want me to do an inquiry on it, I'll find out.
Hey, I think that's a fair response there. Let's get to, pardon me, Congressman, I'm having difficulty reading a screen here. Hey, we have Jim in Pacific Grove here on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
Hi, thanks, Congressman Farr. Thanks for coming on and you know, talking to your constituency like this. I am one of your constituencies, and I'd like to ask you, why don't you come on these radio shows a lot more often? This is a good way for you to reach your constituency. Otherwise, like people have called in before, it's, you know, you can call your office and you get one of your, as Bill says, your million-dollar staff. And it's a process. How about an outreach program, a commitment that you come on radio shows like this, you know, other stations and this one, and let us talk to you. Let us air our grievances because, you know, I'll give you a lot more respect than I have in the past if you do something like that.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I don't know of any time that I haven't. I mean, there is Michael Swerling, made a lot of comments a week or so ago when checking out with my staff because I didn't hear about it until after the weekend was over. And what's going on? You know, was I supposed to be there? And he said, no, there was never any date certain set, no invitation for anything specific. It was just general discussion. Michael knows that I've been on his program every time I've been asked. I think it's probably the only talk radio show still going on in the area. I enjoy it very much. I have more public town hall meetings than almost anybody in Congress. So, I'm very open and transparent, and I enjoy being that way.
And say, let me add something here in the congressman's favor. You're asking, to my knowledge, when he was asked directly to come on to this station and this program, he responded immediately, and he scheduled this appearance. And look, we have some differences of opinion, but I very much respect the fact that he has come on the air here. He's willing to answer the questions that I challenge him with. And he's willing to answer yours. And I hope, can you stay a little while longer, Congressman?
Thank you.
Can you stay with us a little longer here?
Yeah, I just hear the beeps on this phone, meaning the battery's getting low, so I'm going to go see if I can get another phone that's better charged.
Well, do we coordinate with our staff here? You've got a dozen, a switchboard full of people and folks here want to talk to you. And in case,
how much time do you have,
Bill? Oh, I've got all the time you've got, another hour. But say, let me interject one thing here so you don't think I'm on the war path here completely. I have great respect for you over a couple of things that you did in the past and tried to get through Congress. I remember them very well. I discussed them on the air, and I remember when you tried to get commissions working with the State Department to help other countries, and it didn't get through Congress. But anyway, I want to pat you on the back for that. Okay.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you ask that, because, you know, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Latin America, and if anything I brought home from that experience is that if you really want to begin getting people to change habits, and it's the same as we having habits, say, a diet habit in the United States, they're all difficult to change a culture, and particularly an uneducated one. You've got to get people to really understand the language, the culture, and you've got to be in country. You can't do this thousands of miles away through some kind of textbook or television or documentary. It's got to be one-on-one, and I'm convinced that the more we get smart about how to do that, the more peace and stability we'll have in the world.
Well, I'm on your side on that, and, you know, I remember details very clearly and the personal tragedy that you had down in Colombia.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want to get into it, but this was discussed very thoroughly on talk radio when I was, you know, on the KGO in San Francisco back in those days. A lot of your constituents were constantly calling in about your activities and things, and, hey, I defended you on a number of things. I hope you understand my concern here about the bludgeoning of this agency and the legal. It's the legal part is worse than being shot. You know that, Congressman, you know?
Well, you know, as I know, that I when people have the authority to be a public agent, particularly an officer, they have a calling, a duty, a higher duty than anyone else, because they've got the licensure to do arrest, and in some cases to carry a gun. The responsibility is really high, and I'm always taking on TSA when they're rude to people in the airline, in the lines that I'm going through. I'm not afraid to be critical of NOAA. To do this, if you really want to change these practices, it's going to have to be done proper way.
Well, what I'm insisting, you know full well, and maybe hope we may need another line here. Should I give you a chance at time here to change phones here, Congressman?
See how I do that. Trying to figure out how I...
All right. Hey.
Microphone.
Be happy to wait here until we can get a better connection. You have a lot of folks who want to talk to you here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how do I go from... This ring's busy all the time because I'm trying to get onto this line.
Is there another landline we could call you on there?
You can just call me back, and I'll just answer it on the right phone.
Well, I'm sure they have your number here. I'm going to talk to the studio here. Bill,
done. You're all right. You don't have to call.
All right. We've got a better connection, huh?
Pitch.
Sure.
I made the switch.
You're still there.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good. Well, I'll just finish one more sentence. Look. I've been through this, Congressman, three or four times on the air with very major cases, and I'll tell you, three of them ended up with the agencies really having their knuckles wrapped and the government paying out millions of dollars for abusing people. I just don't think that's fair. That's why I'm on this. And I think as a congressman, you have a right to stand up and tell your constituency and tell this agency and say in Congress, that's all. But here, we've got Sean in, I've got to get Mike in Santa Cruz. We have you coming up here. Here's Mike in Santa Cruz, Congressman.
Yes, hello.
You're on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
All right. Thank you, Congressman Farr, for being on. That point that the previous caller made with doing this more often, it seems like a real streamlined format to be able to converse and to interact this way. So I hope that you and Bill do this on a repeated basis. My question was, Congressman Farr, do you see any correlation or connection between, some of these events that have happened with NOAA and the ICLEI, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, being a danger in the way that they are administering their organizations that would infringe the sovereign...
Okay, well, look, you're asking, right? You're asking to agree with your conclusion. Let's hold it to the question part there.
Okay, so the question is, do you see the danger, of this growing out of control, and are you willing to stand with your constituents to voice opposition to what would undermine...
What you're asking the congressman is, will he oppose something you want him to oppose? Let's see what he has to say here. Congressman
yes.
Farr.
Well, Mike, I'm not sure I understood the question because I don't know the organization that you talked about. But I think the generic issue, and it's a good question, is, you know, this is the this is why you have representational government and why you question authorities. You have a process that allows you publicly transparency to question actions here and whether it's extreme cases. And has there been abuse of the law or has there have been malfeasance? And those are those. And Bill's chiding me because he thinks I'm not doing it loud enough. First of all, I do these things all the time, and I'm involved in it almost daily. And when people come in and give me the specifics of a case and tell me, you know, where to do it, who's involved, which is the agency we're doing it. So yes, it's the vigilance it must that a democracy must have is to continually to check to see whether things are going right.
Okay, Congressman, we have Steph in Trinity County here who has some experience with whale watching. What's your question, Steph?
Well, I'm going to tell Congressman Farr that I applaud his stance. It's the law. My wife and I owned and ran Sanctuary Cruises out of Moss Landing for 10 years, and for all of those 10 years, we saw horrible behavior by Nancy Black. And to the extent that finally, after one incident off the Officers Club out of Seaside, I called, I think it's in Silver Springs, Maryland, I called the National Marine Fisheries Permit Office and asked questions. The questions I asked were, can a commercial enterprise be involved in research? And the answer was a definitive no. Can filming be done without a permit? Absolutely not. Can filming be done in conjunction with a research permit? Absolutely not. And Nancy Black did all these things. The last thing was in 2009, right before we sold the company, we'd been following a pod of killer whales for about a half an hour, respectfully behind and to the side like you're supposed to. We knew exactly where they were going. They were comfortable. We were just putting behind them, and Nancy Black, operating her boat, ran straight across our bow, violating our right of way, and right over the backs of the killer whales, and they scattered like crazy. The one thing that a responsible captain, whale watch captain, will always do is never alter their natural behavior. And baiting killer whales, trolling for killer whales, running over their backs, it is abominable behavior. And I got to tell you, you're not guilty. You're not I applaud it. I think.
Well, okay. And then let me ask you this one question, and before we hear the congressman, so you believe it's justified that she's charged with penalties up to 20 years in prison for what you think you observed?
You know, I now live on the Trinity River.
No, I don't care where you live. No, I know the Trinity River. I ask you a question. Do you believe what she's charged with deserves threats of 20 years in prison?
If I go fishing on the Trinity River...
I don't care where you go fishing. I know where you are. Now, come on. Obviously, you're an adversary of Nancy Black's, and she stepped on your toes. Now, I'm asking you, independent of the citation, do you believe that she deserves to be 20 years in prison, huh?
You break the law, you're subject to...
Well, I imagine you're going to be testifying and having to prove what you just said, so let's see what the...
I haven't been coached on that, but I would be happy to. It's well
done. I don't think you have... Hey, you know, from what you just said on the air publicly, I don't think you have much choice now, fellow. You better think it over a little bit. Okay?
You know what?
I hope you're ready to go say that in court. That's
absolutely
what you should be doing. Okay. Congressman Farr, you have a comment on that.
Well, I comment on both of you. One is that I think he's right. It is the law, and if that's what I think what I've been trying to talk about, if you want to change the law, there's a process for doing it. I think these charges as to, you know, up to the fines they're up to and the punishment they're up to, taking the maximum and saying that's what's going to happen is not necessarily fair. I mean, I don't know what the actual indictment is on her, and I've never gotten into the specifics, but, maybe this thing gets worked out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what
Congressman, you've just answered my main question. I have never once said that it's clear or I could make any judgment or anyone else whether it was proper to issue a citation for some particular act. I have said This escalation of threats and legal intimidation is outrageous, and it does qualify, in my opinion, for what you called ICS agents once. It's a Gestapo operation when you do that. I don't believe any agency has a right to threaten you, give you a citation that would be $500, but say it's $2,500 if you open your mouth now and protest. Do you? That's all I ask you to stand up and respond to.
I don't disagree with that.
That's all I've been asking. But this is the clear and present publicized behavior of which they're proud of. And you, as a congressman, have a right to question that. A citizen doesn't have a chance if the entire government is brought down on them, and helicopters and armies of attorney generals. They're bankrupted. You know that, Congressman?
Yeah, I know that.
I helped two different individuals in 4 years. I kept the spotlight on the agencies on talk radio until they had their day in federal court in Sacramento. And you can go look it up, the Womack case. And he collected $1.5 million from these federal and state agents before it was over with for violating his rights and doing exactly this. Now, does every citizen have to go through 4 years of this? As a member of Congress, all I ask you to do is say what you just said. You don't like the escalation that they've taken it to. If that's your position, I respect it, all right?
Yeah, and I'd be glad to, first of all, the whole debate seems to be carried out on the talk radio show.
Where else has it been done, Congressman? Nothing happens if the public doesn't get involved.
No, I know, but the petitioning of me, I mean, you're sort of dragging me into this frankly, the people that have come into my office have come in, reported what has happened, never specifically asked, would you please help with regulations or talk to the sanctuary staff? I mean, what I had back, as I told you, I was supportive of jet skis for the surfing events. I mean, when this National Marine Sanctuary was created, frankly, I wasn't in Congress. That was when Leon Panetta was in Congress. But I was very instrumental in local and state government on blocking offshore oil drilling in the Central Coast. This is the only sanctuary in the whole plethora of 13 sanctuaries that specifically has statutory language against offshore oil drilling. In that regional sanctuary, everybody was against jet skis. It was just, no exceptions. Since then, exceptions have been made, and now there are three exceptions, and they're spelled out. And what I'm saying is that those aren't broad enough in the instances as these people have been raising in the incidents in Mavericks. And I don't know what the other – Mavericks is the one that hits me because that was relatively recently. But they do allow – jet skis are allowed during very high surf conditions to facilitate transportation to and from – the takeoff area, and to help pull surfers from the impact zone. The rule requires the National Weather Service, this is something we may want to question, requires the National Weather Service to make high surf warnings in order for the jet skis to be allowed on the sanctuary waters.
Well, Congressman, I don't think there's any questioning of that. We all understand that regulations take time, they take input, lots of things. Back to what we're talking about is not the regulations. We're talking about the attacks on citizens with bureaucratic authority. You have known it. You said, gee, nobody came to complain to you. But, Congressman, it's been all over your face in the press and everywhere. You're the congressman for this area. You say, why does talk radio do this? Nobody came to me in the case of the three former cases I told you about. I read about it and said, look, this is outrageous. The role of communication and radio in the media is to expose things that are abusive. And I did that. As a congressman, you have 10 times the power to do that.
And I do it. I do it all the time.
Well, nobody had to come into your office and say, gee, do something about this.
I don't hear the facts in every time somebody's given a ticket.
You've got a professional public relations guy who's out there with the press every day, paid $100,000 a year, Congressman. He knew this. He knew this before anybody else. He goes to lunch with these NOAA people. Come on.
Nobody in our office paid $100,000 a year.
He costs the government $300,000 a year. Come on, you know that, and his $80,000 a year salary. That's what every federal employee costs the taxpayers. You know that, Congressman.
I don't know that.
You don't know the overhead, the benefits, the retirement benefits. And Congressional Budget Office. Congressional Budget Office gives you. Congressional Budget Office gives you this figure every year, Congressman.
You have a fixed amount of dollars that you can spend for all of the actions in your office, whether it's buying furniture, buying paper, paying for the stamps for the privileges of having.
Okay.
Franking privileges, the airfare to get to and from the district.
Okay, then tell your constituent, how much is that per year for your office?
It's about $1 million
mm-hmm.
per special office.
$1 million, and how many staff members do you have?
You're limited to a maximum of 18.
And you certainly have a few, and then you tell me somebody had to come in and tell you there's been an abuse of your citizens when it's all over the, it's practically plastered on people's faces in your area? It's all over you, Congressman. You knew this the minute it happened. Come on.
I don't jump on everything. Neither do you, Bill.
But I jump on things that are this abusive. And, hey, I'll remind you again. You labeled something you saw as a Gestapo operation, and this is another one, and I said the same thing. This is the green Gestapo.
Yes, and didn't I tell you that it was also because all the folks in Santa Cruz County had petitioned me on that? It wasn't
right,
that
well,
I just sat
well,
there and listened to it and asked
right.
a question. I wouldn't ask
well,
a question.
Well, then, I will accept your answer if you say, as their congressman with $1 million staff, that somebody has to petition you to be aware of things like this. I'll accept that. I won't mention it again.
It's not. Wait a minute. You're mixing words here.
You just said you had to be petitioned, Congressman,
you
to be concerned.
You have to petition me to get legislation introduced, petition me to, you know, do a casework. It doesn't just happen. Got to be initiated.
Well, if somebody else is doing all the initiation, then how many others are qualified to do your job, Congressman? I'd say any housewife in the area here could do it just as well.
The complaint process, you know that, we do very well. Our office does a lot of, and we put out about in answer to questions. I think almost more than almost any office in Congress. We've got a very active case workload. We do.
All right, well, look, we have Mike in
high success rate with constituent requests. So, and I won't accept that, this office isn't busting its tail to do things that people want it to do.
Well, you told me you didn't like what's happening to these victims of NOAA or people cited, but nothing's happened. Okay. So.
Well, yes, it has happened. I told you that the Black case, I made some calls to NOAA, to their judicial department.
Okay, well, here's Mike in Santa Cruz. Would you like to talk to Congressman Farr here on KSCO?
Yeah, hi. I was just calling to find out if Mr. Farr can tell me how many surfers, big wave athletes have to die before he does something about this abusive law. And then also, if you can make a comment on the hundreds of thousands of dollars that was spent at Maverick flying helicopters over and fishing game just for a bunch of people trying to be safe and make sure that nobody died. And I just wanted to get his comments on their actions on
all right. That fair question. Let's let Congressman Farr give you a response here.
I'm not aware of all those facts because Mavericks is not in my district, but I'm not sure what his question was.
Well, he was primarily questioning the expense of the helicopters they reportedly used to chase these jet skiers, and NOAA called in Fish and Game, other agencies, and so forth. This is all publicized.
Yes, it's all publicized, and again, it's outside my district. I've taken an interest in Mavericks because an awful lot of the people who are in that contest live and reside in my district in Santa Cruz, and I'm always a fan of wave surfing anyway. So, but Anna Eshoo is the congresswoman of Mavericks.
Okay. I have to remind you again, Congressman, isn't it true you sponsored the primary legislation that gave NOAA the authority to do what it's doing?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Legislation to create the National Marine Sanctuary was sponsored by Leon Panetta. It's an authorization that Congress gives to create a National Marine Sanctuary in a spot. Then the size and the regulations and the scope, because you're writing up a specific mm-hmm. plan as to how that sanctuary is going to be managed, is done by NOAA. But that was done after Congress approved the creation of it. It hadn't figured out how big it was or what it was going to do. It was just a line item saying there shall be a National Marine Sanctuary in Monterey Bay. And then there was a big debate and down here for a long time as to how big that thing. There were three choices, a small one, a medium size, and a big one. This is for the original Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary. The big one was chosen, lots of public pressure for it, and both the Bush administration at the time and Duke Bajan, I think, administration, it was before Wilson was elected, supported the whole enchilada, as they called it. And after that was adopted as to boundaries, then what kinds of things are going to go on in the sanctuary? As you know, there are commercial activities that can occur in a sanctuary. It's kind of like a national forest. And also you can create wilderness-type zones in the sanctuary, which they're seeking to do in parts. So it's a big, complex sanctuary. It's the Monterey Bay Canyon. It's now combined with the two northern sanctuaries. I think the one that's off this the Farallones, and then north of that, the Cordell Bank Sanctuary have all become united into one big long sanctuary, but they each have their own management sections.
Well, look, I guess maybe I stand to be corrected, but as I thought I recall very clearly, because the subject was on talk radio, 2007, you sponsored an Oceans Act. I'm trying to remember the full name of it. It was
But that Oceans Act never got a hearing in the first committee. That was when Pombal was chair of the House Resources Committee, and even though Admiral Watkins was chair of the committee that Congress had asked to give us recommendations on ocean policy, Mr. Pombal refused to have Admiral Watkins, who was a Republican and who was the Secretary of Energy under President Bush, testify before his committee. So it never did get a hearing. But
well, the part I remembered, you sponsored this legislation. I recall. And in that legislation, part of that legislation specifically, you sponsored that NOAA should be in charge of all these activities. You sponsored that.
Wait a minute. All these activities, there weren't activities in there. It was a discussion on the oceans and our responsibility. And as you know, the United States has more ocean because of our 200-mile exclusive economic zones, which include the U.S. atolls in the South Pacific. And if you add up all those possessions, U.S. has more ocean domain than any other country in the world. And it was the big picture of how we ought to be looking at oceans in the future that are essentially have been our dumping grounds for all our sewage and garbage and everything else, and at the same time extracting everything we can out of it. Isn't there going to be a conflict, and isn't this creating some problems for the health of the oceans? And everybody agreed, yes, oceans are dying, and we ought to have some comprehensive policy, because Coast Guard wouldn't talk to NOAA, and NOAA wouldn't talk to marine fisheries, and marine fisheries wouldn't talk to others, and the states certainly didn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And since all that, as you know, California has moved way ahead of any other state in the union, created a marine protected zone in its state waters that is almost goes the entire state, created marine protected zones inside state waters, which no other state or even the federal government has done yet. So California really has been taking the lead, and I started back in the 70s as a board of supervisor, and later in the 80s as a state legislator, to pay attention to the ocean. I mean, that dramatic coastline that we have the privilege of living on is the biggest economic zone in the United States in terms of population and economic activity. It's also the most fragile of land meeting sea and taking a pounding. So we've got to find some smart ways of managing these delicate resources. And I think what you bring up in today's program is that when you do have some regulations and somebody abuses them, you ought to be questioning that.
I guess my question is...
I don't agree with that at all.
there are more and more regulations, but when you just mentioned the latest one, seems to me that entire zone offshore of California that you've succeeded in prohibiting the largest number of people in the world from ever using fishing, exploiting, as you point out, making anything economic out of the coastline.
Well,
I mean, the more regulations, the fewer people can go out there, isn't it?
You're giving me credit for something I didn't do, but no, I haven't done that. I have not done that. I didn't.
All right.
I'm not responsible for creating the National Marine Sanctuary. I'm a big supporter of it. I think the people who live here are a big supporter. Remember, this sanctuary, unlike many others, this was created as a step. It was created as a reaction to the proposed oil drilling off Año Nuevo, and in the and it went through the Carter administration, and then the Reagan administration, and James Watt was the one who was going to the Secretary of Interior at the time, said that all California's coastline is open up for drilling. We're ready to go. California fought back. It's been just sort of protecting our waters. Been bipartisan.
Well,
Governor Schwarzenegger that told President Bush that he didn't want California to be considered for federal drilling in federal waters off California coast. So we've opted out of the offshore oil drilling that the president announced the other night.
Congressman, I'm not sitting here proposing that everything be opened up for exploitation. I just asked you a question. Isn't it true that the more regulations and set-asides you have, the more people who are prohibited from doing things that you might consider to be destructive? But look, I have to give a station break here, and we have a number of other calls here coming up. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, 1080 on the AM dial. Say, we have David and Carmel here. I'd like to talk to Congressman Farr. You're on KSCO. David just disappeared. All right. Heidi in Santa Cruz, you're on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
Hi, I'm a big fan of Sam Farr's. I also sat on the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary Advisory Council back when we grappled with the use of jet skis in marine protected areas. And man, I can't tell you how long we went over and over and over this. We were trying to protect fragile areas for marine life, which is the point of these sanctuaries. Having jet skis tow surfers out a couple of hundred yards in anything but big surf conditions is what we were trying to shut down. And that was happening. Earlier you had a call from my husband, Steph Dutton. He and I created Sanctuary Cruises back in 1999. We named our company Sanctuary Cruises in honor of the poor little gray whale whose brains were blown out up in Washington in a National Marine Sanctuary by the Mackay Indians. That is all before we started our whale watching company.
Well, what does that have to? What does that have?
Wait a minute.
You throw in a whale with his brains blown out. Well, what does that have to do with the Monterey Bay area?
It's another marine sanctuary, and we think everything is protected in sanctuaries. Very little is. How is it that our country allowed the Mackay Indians to go out there with an elephant gun and blow a whale's brains out?
Okay, well, look, I don't know how we deal with what the Indians are doing up there, but let's see if Congressman Farr has a response to that. I don't know what to make of that. Do you, Congressman?
She's right. I mean, what we've found is that the highest economic interest in this area is what we call watchable wildlife. You have people coming here to see the sea otters, see the whale. The whales are making more money than the old commercial fishing boats were.
I think it's great.
And watchable wildlife with Ventana, where people will go down to a place like Post Ranch and spend, you know, thousands of dollars a night to sleep in a room just so they can see condors. I mean, there is a value here, and an economic value to preserving and getting access to, which is the whale watching, because, you know, how else can you get out on the ocean? But whenever you're going to do that, you're going to have some regulations. And I think the caller was absolutely right that nobody wanted jet skis, although people thought there might be a legitimate exception to that for event purposes. And they tried to craft a law to do that.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something here that's been out in the press, an issue put out, and I'm a little confused about it. the same NOAA officers who warned jet skiers at this Maverick event and then incited these jet skiers told them it was all right if they moored their jet skis to a bigger watercraft. You know, that bigger watercraft has a propeller. I'm a little naive, but I'm enough of a scientist and been out in the water enough to know that. It was all right for them to have, quote, a bigger boat in this same area in which mammals are being endangered. That bigger boat has a propeller that chews up animals, you see. The jet skis don't chew up anything. They blow water. Now, I don't understand this, Congressman. This is the kind of arbitrariness that I don't understand, and I don't think the public understands it.
Well, perhaps you've got to go to the Marine Sanctuary Advisory Committee and listen to all of the issues there, because they made the exception for boats. And obviously, you know, there's small, fast rubber boats, so the Avons and so on.
Yeah, but they're talking in this case about a large ship. They specifically stated, you are all right to go out there if you were moored to a bigger boat. Okay. Now, Congressman, you say I should go to a Marine Advisory Committee. I say somebody should stand up in Congress and ask the question, are the people making these regulations intelligent enough to ask the simplest question of all? And I'll guarantee you that I can bring you any number of experts to tell you the difference between the danger of a big boat with a propeller and little water jets, little personal watercraft that squirt water. I've been run over by them, Congressman. I got bruised accidentally. I didn't get hurt or chewed up. But the big boat that they're told is okay, somebody needs to stand up in Congress and say, what sort of idiots do we have making these regulations? That's all I'm saying, you know?
Well, I'm not going to be that person to stand up and claim that my constituents, who are some of the smartest and hardest working people in the country, who have had the initiative to create this National Marine Sanctuary, who have been active in trying to set these regulations in public forum with public participation and transparency, that they're a bunch of idiots. It's just not, that's not right.
Well, I hear you very clear. You stand. You're not going to question the kind of judgment I just described to you that's been published and witnessed, by the way. It's all right to have big boats around the mammals with propellers, but not to have jet skis. Is that your position?
You keep shifting the facts here. I mean, there was never a discussion about big boats, and now it's boats, and before it was the attitude of the arresting officer or somebody who said something to somebody. I don't know what all those issues are. They haven't been in our local Monterey papers. But
I'm reading your local Monterey Bay Area papers, Congressman.
Which paper are you reading?
I'm reading one news here from a Santa Cruz Patch organization, quoting others. But gee, when I checked with people, I don't know. I mean, he's a local news
What's
guy.
That's not a newspaper.
Well, he's a reporter of reporting events, and when I made some calls, the events he recalls were all confirmed.
I think that's a blog. That's not a newspaper.
Well, whatever it is, does that deny the fact?
I don't know. Hey, look, your
own NOAA people.
Debating me, you're debating me here on the phone with neither having the facts on your side or my side. I don't know why we're debating this. You know that I support questioning abuse of power. That's no problem.
All right.
I'd like to get the facts on that abuse of power, and I will certainly question it.
Well, I'm relating one to you, and I can be corrected, and I'd be happy to admit I'd made an error if it's not true. I'm relating something to you that the officials who told the jet skiers they couldn't go out and later cited them also told them they were all right if they were moored to a bigger craft. These are the same officials that called in a helicopter and other agencies and pursued these guys and gave them a citation and then told them we're going to up it to $2,500 if you object. Now, that I think is fact. Here's, let's see. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Congressman.
Well, you made your point. Okay.
All right.
Can we go on?
Yeah. Here's Rick and Salinas. Well, are you going to do anything about it? I'll ask you, huh?
Here's Rick and Dr. Bell. Yeah. Dr. Bell and you know, I give you kudos, Congressman, for coming on and taking the hot seat. But I have a question. I understand, you know, the making of the sanctuary and no oil drilling, but yet you go down the coast in Santa Barbara, that community is doing fine with oil wells, oil drilling off their coast. Santa Barbara coast is beautiful, pristine as well, and they seem, again, to be doing fine and everything. But then you have a viable solution like the Keystone Pipeline coming out from Canada, coming to the U.S. The Canadians want to invest and help the U.S. with their oil problems as well. So then President Obama vetoes it. And my question to you is, do you agree with that decision to veto, even though all the IR, the environmental impact reports had been done? It was
okay, well, look, you know, don't ask him to confirm what you think has been done. You've posed a good question. Let's leave it at that. Listen, in fairness, let's hear the congressman's response.
Yeah, the Keystone Pipeline is a very interesting proposal, project. It's lots of issues that have been raised. State Department and other agencies of the federal government have asked for more information, more reports. The Republicans in the House decided to put in a date certain, and the president said, if you put that date in there, I'll veto it. They knew that putting in. They wanted to set him up so that they could use it as, he vetoed it. He doesn't support jobs, doesn't support the pipeline, so and so. I support the president. They shouldn't have put that deadline in there. The pipeline does require these studies. The host country, the governor of Nebraska, who happens to be a Republican, is one of the biggest opponents of the pipeline. It goes through his state. There's, I think, a lot of questions to be asked is when this oil, which is questionable. A lot of people don't support the tar sands extraction process because of its adverse environmental effects. But if you get all this oil in the pipeline and it goes down to the Gulf Coast, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to be consumed in the United States, or are we just creating another shipping point for it to be exported? So there's still a lot of questions. His vetoing it at the day that the Republicans made him make that decision, I think, was the right one. And as he said at the time, it still could be done if we answer these questions and look at these alternatives. So I don't think that the pipeline is discussion or politics is over with. In fact, I think Congress is going to be dealing with it a lot this entire year.
Hey, well, okay,
you know, because I think it's taken away valuable jobs, and I particularly don't want to be paying $5 a gallon gas, and I know your constituents here as well, and I am one of them, don't want to pay $5 a gallon gas. So we need to do something to spur our economy, and what has been done so far is not doing it point-blank range. But anyway,
okay,
thank you,
Congressman,
for coming on.
Thank you for your
comments. I'm certainly not getting into an energy debate with Bill Wattenberg on talk radio. He's been making this his corner of his intellectual knowledge for years and years, and has certainly been one of the great voices in alternatives and alternative possibilities, and I applaud you for that.
Well, I think you gave a very fair response to the concerns the opposition has here, and what's more to be said in here. He posed a good question, and I hope you appreciated the time you took to give him an answer here. Here's Brad.
Excuse me.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Con. Here's Brad in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
Dr. Bill, Congressman Farr, thank you. Hey, this is Brad Kava from Patch.com, Congressman. First of all, surprised you think it's a blog. I did a story with your wife on Carmel Judd. She seemed to know it was a news outlet. We're a news outlet, subsidiary of Huffington Post. Ariana Huffington's the editor nationally, but locally I'm the editor of Santa Cruz Patch, so I wanted at least to clear that up. And then second, I asked you to your face at the last last Sanctuary Advisory Committee meeting in Santa Cruz about this NOAA stuff. You said you'd get back to me. That was 4 months ago. I've written and exchanged email with your aide at least 5 times since then, and I've gotten no response. And the part that I'm most interested in is the investigation that Dan Rather did and that Barney Frank and Scott Brown have asked about, and that is the $100 million fund that NOAA's taken from fishermen on the East Coast and used it to take judges to Malaysia and those other things, which are all in the public record and have been talked about in Congress. I wanted some response to that, and we're seeing some of the same stuff here on the West Coast, as you're seeing here.
Brad, I'm not familiar with. I know that the Massachusetts Congress members beat up on Dr. Jane Lachenko, who's head of NOAA, for actions taken in the Northeast. But frankly, I haven't paid much attention to it. She's got enough. They have enough people on that. I'm paying more attention to our local, you know, California coastline, and particularly the Central Coast here. So whatever resolve will happen, it'll happen with those people and the energy they have and putting into it.
But again,
I'm not aware of this. I'm not, you know, nobody, this fund you talk about, I didn't know about that.
I sent you that information. I guess you didn't have a chance to look at it, but you had asked me for it, and you said you'd get back to it when I met you at the Sanctuary Advisory Commission, and you never got back to me. So when you said that nobody's raised this to you, maybe somehow it got forgotten in the course of your day, but we definitely talked face-to-face about that.
Well, Congressman,
is that the day we went down and looked at the National Marine Sanctuary?
Yes,
visit?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That yeah. Day. Yeah. You said you'd get back to me. And just.
Well, I'm sorry. I will. I'll find out, Brad. I'll find out where that is, and I'll get back to you.
And we are.
I'm sorry. Did you give it to me personally? I hope not, because sometimes every day people hand me so much stuff, I try to hand off to somebody to make sure they'll follow through.
Yeah. We talked, and then I emailed you through one of your PR, the guy, I can't remember his name, Alex maybe, but we've exchanged several messages where he said you'd get back to me. The last one in December, he said you'd be getting back to me soon, but I haven't heard back.
Okay. Well, we'll get on it.
Well, Congressman, this is the news source I just mentioned to you a little earlier, and I took the time to confirm some of the things that he reported, so I just hope you understand that. And then, by the way, I did take the time to call the Congressional Budget Office yesterday about this business of NOAA having its own slush fund of hundreds, not a few million, not 10 million, but $100 million. And it's true. And I wonder how in the world a federal agency was given the power to keep, to fine people, take their property, maybe properly so for violence, but then keep the money and use it themselves. I mean, are you aware of that, Congressman?
I'm not aware that that was a slush fund that NOAA has. I'm aware that the military has what they call non-appropriated funds for all the businesses they run on military bases, which is billions and billions of dollars that they don't, that doesn't go through congressional scrutiny. And maybe other agencies on fines and forfeitures. I mean, even in California, when I was in the state legislature, the fines and forfeitures, which are usually levied by local government, the state takes a share of, but those are sort of stay in a revolving fund. And if that's what NOAA has, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be also surprised if every other federal agency has the same thing. So you've raised this issue. I'm ranking member on the Ag Appropriations Committee. I will find out when I get back to Washington how many of these revolving funds there are.
Well, but the question is this. Do you approve of this? Here is an agency with the power to issue citations, police power, make its own judgment, escalate the fines against you if you protest, and when they collect the money, they get to use it for themselves. Do you
No, I don't approve of the way you stated it.
Well, that happens to be the truth. I didn't make it up, Congressman. That happens to be the simple truth. Have one of these staff members just call the Congressional Budget Office. They'll give you an education.
We deal with the Congressional Office every single day, particularly those of us that are on the appropriations.
Well, then why in the hell didn't they know this, Congressman?
Why in the hell didn't they know what?
Yeah, you paid $175,000 a year. You have the power of Congress. You've got $1 million staff. Why didn't they know this has been rubbed in their face?
Frankly, I'm sorry, but I just don't know everything that goes on in the world every day.
Okay. Hey, fair answer. Here's Sean in Orange County. You have a question for Congressman Farr. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The NOAA California sanctuaries were created from blocking offshore oil drilling. And when they did the revision of the sanctuary in Monterey, they listed the jet ski as a top 10 threat to the resources. But they didn't list the nuclear dump zones as a threat in that area. And in 2003, NOAA did a visitor center and site feasibility study, but never did any studies or funded any studies initiated by NOAA about PWCs. And they're a science-based fact organization. Now, this visitor center is being built for a cost of $15 million, while my daughter's school can't even buy paper, pencils, crayons. So is the $15 million from Obama's stimulus package, because if NOAA has the money to buy a piece of land and to staff it and to pay for the utilities and so forth into perpetuity, but NOAA doesn't have the money to manage these, quote, buoys for the PWC zones, they don't update their signage, and essentially they are denying access to us while they're increasing their visitor presence.
Okay, now, Sean, are you talking about an area in Orange County or up here in the Monterey Bay?
No, I'm talking about the Monterey Bay. I was born and raised up there, and I've worked on the water with jet skis up there at the contest.
Let's give Congressman Farr a chance to respond to that. Hey, thank you very much for your question.
What were the initials she was talking about? What do they stand for?
That I don't know. Let's get her back here and see. Sean, Congressman asking a question here. Still with us?
Yes, I am.
They
can fund studies to basically pave their way, but they are selective in what studies and where the money goes.
Sean, hold a second. Congressman has a question here.
What are the studies, and what is the WPC or something you mentioned?
Well, they spent $15 million building their visitor center right now, and they did a visitor center and site feasibility study, which had to be funded. But they've never funded any studies against PWCs. And they don't fund the money to maintain the buoys.
Okay, well, let's hear the congressman's.
I think I understand. First of all, you can give this comparison of, you know, money that the federal government spends on one thing or another versus what the state spends on schools, and the schools always win. I mean, we spend billions of dollars of the federal government in almost every county in California. We spend about $3 billion in Monterey and Santa Cruz County. We spend $1 billion of the military money in these counties. Now, you know, why don't we just drop all that and spend that all on schools? Well, that's it's a bigger debate, because under the way laws administered in this country, we gave the authority to the states to determine what should be the proper way of educating kids. And the federal government puts very little money into the K-12 system. It's a state responsibility. We don't have any national testing standards. We don't have any national teacher credentialing and all of that. So, I mean, we can talk about that all day long. But the studies for the National Marine Sanctuary, yes, we had to have a feasibility study because we wanted to build an interpretive center. We've created this sort of water park out there, and we wanted people to understand what it had to offer. And it's been highly lobbied by local governments. I mean, every community around Monterey Bay wanted the visitor center in their community. It was decided that it should go in Santa Cruz. The offices for NOAA are in Monterey, so you bookend the big bay out here. And much of that money was raised locally and privately. So the federal money is matching money to do something that the community wanted done. I don't see anything wrong with that process. I think you were raising, why wasn't there public money given to the jet ski industry to study jet skis in Monterey Bay? You know better than I do how controversial those issues are in this bay, and people aren't keen on developing commercial jet skis, and the sanctuary administrators and the advisory committee have been listening to the folks, and you just don't have the support in this part of California to begin a commercial jet ski industry here. And just like Carmel doesn't allow McDonald's and whatever to come into Carmel, there are local controls, and we tout those a lot in our government in the United States. In fact, Washington pleads strongly that all laws are local. I mean, all politics is local. So,
okay, we have Congressman.
Hey, Bill, I do have to go pretty soon because Univision is waiting to talk to me.
Well, you've been more than gracious with us with your time here. I appreciate that. There's one more call here, or do you have to go right now?
Well, give me the one more call, and then we'll go.
All right, let's just pick one at random. Here's Red in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO with Congressman Farr.
Hi, I just had two questions, and I wasn't too sure about it. I learned about them yesterday on your show, Dr. Bill. One of them was about this Agenda 21 business. And if you could give me a better understanding of it, and if you do or don't support it. And then the second question was about that Congressional National Socialist Caucus.
Okay, now look, first of all, Red, in fairness, I want to tell the congressman, I didn't bring these up. A caller brought up these subjects. Yeah. I listened as everyone else did. You must have been listening to her. I'm not really clear what these are either, but a fair question. Let's let the congressman respond to you here, okay?
Thank you. I'll take my questions up here.
Thank you for calling. Congressman.
I've heard of the first. I don't know anything about the second. What I've heard about is that Agenda 21 was a resolution, kind of an international resolution that came out of the first world climate conference in Brazil. This was back in the 90s, right? Early
90s. I believe that was the first conference, yes.
And something, I've never even seen it, but something, and I think that some of the supervisors in Santa Cruz County at the time had endorsed it. And so from then on, everybody's asking me, you know, what I feel about it. I don't think it has any play at all in the way we make decisions in the United States, nor in local government.
Well, let's just leave it there, because I don't think we had any real firm definition of it. By the way, Michael Swerling here would like to have a word with you.
Well, I will tell you, good afternoon, Sam and Bill. This is Rosemary Chalmers. I'm much prettier than Michael Swerling. But I did want... I wanted to make the situation clear, because I heard you call in a little early, and thanks so much for taking the time out of your day. I think the listeners, and I know that we appreciate it here, to let you know that we had actually issued an open invitation to you to come on the station at any time, and we were willing to make time to facilitate this to work. And Michael has asked me to issue an invitation to you that we would like to do this on a regular basis, where air in the lineup we can put it in and do it like every couple of weeks, so that you can stay in touch with your constituents, and the constituents can also stay in touch with you and what's happening in Washington. So please feel free to have your office get in touch with me, and we'd love to set something up, because this is really fascinating stuff.
And
well, thank you.
Go ahead.
A nice invitation. I'll take you up on it. If we can set time certain, because, you know, it's very hard when you have a schedule that we have to just say, well, find some time. It's better that we try to negotiate it days and hours and all that, which you and I have been doing for years and years and years.
Yes.
And I will continue to do that. And, you know, you can call me. I think I give you my personal number. You can just call me personally on issues. You've done that at the crack of the morning sometimes. I think I've still been in bed when you called. So.
Yes. Anyway, well, thanks so much, and thank you very much, Dr. Bill. I appreciate the interruption there.
Oh, that's quite all right. And Congressman Bill Wattenberg here. Say, look, I've asked you some very difficult questions, but I very much appreciate you taking the time. Frankly, yeah, you put in more time than I've experienced from that most congressmen are willing to do. And, I hope you understand part of my position is this. I just firmly believe you have a lot more power than maybe you've expressed here. And, that's a fair difference of opinion.
We totally agree. It's just how you use it, and you have to set priorities. And usually the constituents brings me a priority. This time it's been through talk radio, so we'll answer some of these questions that have been brought up today and look into them. But I appreciate very much your time, and I love talk radio. So
I just do want to clarify one thing. My beginning question was not, what are you going to change tomorrow? But what is it that you dislike about these recent events of NOAA charging some people and escalating the charges? I think you made it clear there. I appreciate that response. That's what your constituents deserve, and I hope we can chat again sometime.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll get the facts on those, and we can go from there.
Hey, thanks again, Congressman Farr.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, here are a lot of calls still waiting here. I have a few minutes. We'll take a few of them. Congressman is very gracious to spend almost a full hour more than he was scheduled to here. I hope you appreciate that. I certainly do. I know KSCO and Michael Swerling does. And you just heard there's a good possibility he'll do this more often with you. And, you know, he doesn't have to be subjected to me all the time. There are a lot of hosts on this station, including MZ Michael himself. I mean, sure would be delighted to discuss things with Congressman Farr. Susan in Santa Cruz, let's get you on the air here and see what's on your mind, Susan.
Well, I just wanted to say that I have seen a letter that Sam Farr wrote and signed in support of ICLEI and Agenda 21. So I don't know if he recalls that, but he does support this program, and it's a massive all-inclusive program. And on some page 7, somewhere early into the document of Agenda 21, it says it's going to affect every area of human activity. And smart meters, smart growth, smart communities, anytime somebody uses the word smart, I'm a little scared, because it's talking about using the environment as an excuse to take away our liberties. So I'm an environmentalist, but it's being used for something a little more, there's an agenda behind it, you might say.
Well, let me ask you this, Susan. As I gathered from a discussion yesterday, this Agenda 21 plan includes such thing as quote, stack 'em and pack 'em philosophy, that people should only be allowed to live in apartment complexes and centralized areas and not build homes out in the ecosystem or what have you. Is that true?
Yes, and also they don't make room for cars in these little cubicles that they build, and the land trusts and the wildlife sanctuaries are going to be, you know, human off-limit zones, and they're going to have people confined in these little human settlements. And
Well, the general philosophy is to restrict human activity on the part of the humans who happen to own this land and area. Yeah, you know my position on that. More and more set-asides, more and more places where you're prohibited to go. To me, the main basis of it is they're telling you, you are dirty and you're evil. You ordinary citizens are a threat to the world. You're evil. And the thing that bothers me is the gurus who make these statements. They think they walk on water. They burp perfume and poop jelly beans, you know.
So what it does is it destroys private property, because freedom is inextricably linked to that, and it prepares people for global citizenship. So it's destroying American sovereignty, and people have to know that who they're voting in office is going to promote this plan.
Now, look, in fairness, though, I did get another email or two of those who said they thought the congressman signed some letter supporting this, and then another one said he did not actually sign such a document.
He didn't sign the document. He signed a letter promoting it.
All right. Well, in fairness, that's what's purported. You should bring that up with him the next time he's on the air here or
all
to
right.
his office. And
thanks
I appreciate
for taking my call.
Hey, appreciate your call, Susan. Here's Ellen in Aptos. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, Bill. I called a few weeks ago to complain about the rural roads in Santa Cruz County.
I remember your voice, Ellen.
And I just think that it's very unfair that we pay our property tax every year, and we have nothing to show for it. We have a stretch of road in Aptos, Trout Gulch. It's a mile and a half section that has gone in major disrepair over the last several years. And it's a bad need of resurfacing, potholes. There are 9 washouts, 6 of them that are of major proportion.
How many people are served by this road, by the way?
Well, let's see. Trout Gulch, Fern Flat, Aptos View.
Are there several hundred served by this road?
Yes.
Okay.
And when I complained to Sam Farr, I received a generic letter not addressing any of
these. Okay, well, look, I hear it. I heard it before. You've got the word out here, but I have to get Michael Zwirling on the air here in the last final minute. I'm a little bit derelict here. MZ.
Great show today. You really, we're so proud that, you know, you're such a great part of KSCO. We're really lucky to have you, and we're lucky to have Sam Farr showing up. But here is the letter that's right on the Internet. Congress of the United States, House of Representatives, June 3rd, 1997. It's real easy to do a Google search, Sam Farr, Agenda 21. It's addressed to Jeannie Nolan, Director, Action, Santa Cruz County, Crow's Nest Drive, Boulder Creek, California. Dear Ms. Norland, I am writing to congratulate you, the advisory board, and the Action Santa Cruz County Coalition for completing the local Agenda 21 action plan. Your efforts are to be commended, and I will make an important contribution to the future, and will make an important contribution to the future quality of life in Santa Cruz County. I support the principle of sustainable development to balance the needs of economic growth, environmental stewardship, and social equity. The local Agenda 21 action plan not only has local significance, it also will have regional and national impacts. As you know, the President's Council on Sustainable Development is beginning phase three of its work with an emphasis on sustainable communities. In addition, I have been spearheading a similar effort known as Monterey Bay 21st Century to develop a process for sustainable development planning for the entire Monterey Bay region, Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito counties. I look forward to working with you on opportunities for collaboration among these groups. In the Monterey Bay region, we are blessed with a unique and beautiful place in which to live and work. We have a strong commitment to environmental protection and quality education and a strong economy based on agriculture, tourism, and marine research and technology. As we move toward the 21st century, I believe it is an appropriate time to pause and ask ourselves how we will sustain these qualities and build upon them for our descendants. I appreciate your dedication to the goals of sustainable development. Sincerely, Sam Farr, Member of Congress. This letter was written on June 3rd, 1997.
And it's on file where? I mean, you said you Googled
it.
Well,
I just did a Google. I just did a Google search. I entered the words Agenda 21, Agenda space, the digit 2, the digit 1, space, Sam Farr. And it came right up. This letter.
Speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. I mean, so I've heard Sam say many times. I didn't hear him say it today. I didn't hear him say, I've never heard of Agenda 21. I've heard him say he's never heard of it. I don't know anything about it.
All right. Huh? Well, as you know, MZ, you own this station. We're way over time here.
Well, anyhow, it's okay. This is more important than CNN News. But,
well,
you know.
All right. Well, your staff guys are hitting me in one earphone and you the other. But look, I think folks have to pay attention. They should read it, and they should furthermore read what Agenda 21 is then, and then make up their own mind.
All you have to do is Google Agenda 21. It'll come right up.
All right.
It's pretty amazing.
Hey, we'll continue this, I'm sure, here on KSCO this week, and Corey Gold will be on, and then I'll be back next Monday through Wednesday. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, AM 1080.
Tired, out of shape? Is your romantic life suffering? It's not your fault. You may have reduced testosterone, but now, for the first time ever, you can boost testosterone levels safely and naturally to feel more like you did 20 years ago. Introducing Ageless Male, a breakthrough supplement clinically proven to increase testosterone levels by 61% and within a healthy, normal range. Today, you can try it risk-free. So if you'd like to experience what healthy testosterone levels can feel like, more energy, better mood and focus, and more romance when you want it, you really need to give Ageless Male a try. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-741-1207. 1-800-741-1207. 1-800-741-1207.
Wall Street notched a win. The Dow Industrials rose 83 points. The Nasdaq added 32. The S&P 500 gained 11 points. Now, the market picked up steam after the Fed said it will now keep interest rates at a record low of near 0% until at least 2014. But Bankrate.com's Greg McBride says Fed Chair Ben Bernanke won't be getting any holiday gifts from seniors with this move.
We've seen yields on things like certificates of deposit and savings accounts falling for the better part of the last 5 years. And now it's going to be pretty close to another 3 years before you start to see any type of measurable improvement, maybe more.
Investors also cheered Apple's strong profit report, sending that stock up 6%. And a short time ago, Netflix said its profits dropped 13%, but it easily beat estimates. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Advil Congestion Relief presents The Woman Who Cried Mucus. Once there was a congested woman.
I blame mucus.
And everyone believed
That's
her.
Right. Mucus.
But she blamed mucus one too many times.
I blame mucus.
All right, stop blaming me. Stop crying mucus when the real problem is often swelling. Try Advil Congestion Relief. It reduces swelling due to nasal inflammation.
Advil Congestion Relief, the right relief for the real problem.
Visit AdvilCongestionRelief.com. Use as directed.
If you're in tech, you should be on Dice. Dice.com is all about connecting the best tech professionals with the job they want. Dice.com has over 80,000 of the hottest jobs in tech, from game developer to software engineer or Oracle DBA. You can find tech jobs from the companies you want to work for, like Adobe, Dell, and eBay. Download our mobile app at dice.com/mobile. Get started with Dice.com, the career hub for tech.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather, mostly clear in the skies in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with lows overnight in the lower 40s. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Highs Thursday in the upper 60s. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. The boaters forecast for Monterey Bay, northerly winds to 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. Westerly swells 7 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. 70 degrees at KSCO, 69 in Watsonville, 60 in Salinas, 68 in Monterey. We have a couple of accidents involving Highway 17. One reported at 155 southbound 17, just south of the Cats. A beige Ford Taurus overturned, blocking both lanes. And then there's a three-vehicle accident, Highway 17, just north of the Lexington Reservoir. A Dodge Ram truck versus a blue sedan versus a white sedan. Highway Patrol has been assigned and will be heading towards that as well. And that was reported at 201. At 202, traffic...